If there is a food associated with Valentine's Day, I think it's got to be chocolate. Almost for sure. There's nothing quite like a delicious morsel slowly kind of melting in your mouth. And for many of us, it's one of the real pleasures of life. And just like a lot of other treats, there are sort of the everyday chocolates, and then there are those that are special. And speaking of special, we have somebody who makes a very special chocolates and creates some real masterpieces. Gail Ambrosius is the owner of Gail Ambrosius Chocolatier in Madison. She joins us in the studio today. And Gail, welcome back.
Thank you, Larry. Nice to be back.
Oh, it's great to have you back to talk about chocolate. You know, many of us, love chocolate, but not many of us become masters, chocolate masters. What inspired you to choose this as your profession?
Oh, God. You know, who doesn't love chocolate? I guess I fell in love with it at a very early age. My mother had a very sweet tooth.
Yeah.
And she loved making homemade desserts. You know, we had warm chocolate chip cookies waiting for us when we got off the bus from school.
Mm.
So I was kind of spoiled growing up.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. I had a mother who did the same and made chocolate candies, too.
Yeah, we did a lot at Christmas time. And I think that was the start. And then I went to Paris at 17, and that's when the bug really hit me. Fell in love, head over heels.
With chocolate.
Did
you study chocolate there then?
Much later in life. I worked for the DNR for a number of years, and then I lost my job in a round of budget cuts.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, my plan B is obvious. I am going to make chocolate. It's what I've always wanted to do, so I'm going to just jump in. But I did do some studying. I went to Valrhona Chocolate Maker in France and took a week-long class with them. So that's where I really learned the science of chocolate, you know, how it behaves with other ingredients, and then also the artistry. You know, then I spent another week in Paris and just soaked up as much as I could, asked a lot of questions, brought home 50 pounds of chocolate.
They'll let you bring that into the...
I had to get an extra suitcase.
Oh, man. Gail Ambrosius is our guest today as we talk about the wonderful world of chocolate with her. How do you enjoy chocolate? Are you a purist or you like those innovative flavors? What's your favorite memory involving chocolate? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. Well, so what's the general process of making chocolate? The raw ingredient. What do you start with?
Well, for me, I start with chocolate in small discs. Mm-hmm. So it's already been turned into chocolate when I get it. You know, I don't do any of the grinding of the beans. You know, that would take another whole career.
Right, yeah.
And a huge factory. So I get it. It's already made.
Mm-hmm.
And then I melt it down and then make it into, we specialize in truffles.
Yeah.
So that's mostly what we're doing.
Yeah, and it's one of, and the chocolate, we hear about dark milk, dark chocolate, milk chocolate, white chocolate. Those are the main varieties, I guess.
Yeah,
And how do they differ in ingredients and processing?
Well, milk chocolate is a smaller percentage of cacao. Mm-hmm. So a dark chocolate, let's back up. Dark chocolate is mostly cacao. So in our application, our average is about a 70%. So that means 70% of the chocolate is just the bean, you know, pure cacao. 30% is sugar. There's a little vanilla generally added and a tiny, tiny bit of soy lecithin added as an emulsifier. So then you go to the milk chocolate, and it's a much smaller percentage of cacao, usually around 30 to 35%. And then there's much more sugar. There's milk solids. And then, again, vanilla and soy lecithin. White chocolate really doesn't even have any chocolate in it. It's just cocoa butter. It's just cocoa butter, so that's a part of the bean, so, you know, they can call it chocolate. So it's cocoa butter, milk solids, much more sugar, vanilla, and again, a little lecithin.
Okay, and so the quality, the highest quality then is the dark?
Well, you get more of the pure cacao in it. So if you're eating chocolate for health reasons, and so many of us are, correct, you know, you would want to go with the higher percentage because then you're getting more of all those good qualities that are in cocoa beans.
And so the dark kind of inspires you.
I am definitely on the dark side, yes. I would say 95% of my creations are dark chocolate. Although for Valentine's Day, I'm doing a strawberries and cream chocolate bar. It's a white chocolate.
Oh.
And we add extra vanilla. I get these wonderful vanilla beans from France. Well, they're from Madagascar, actually, but I get them in France.
Mm-hmm.
And so we squeeze out the vanilla pod, and we add extra vanilla seeds. So you get that nice speckly look to your white chocolate. And then we add dried strawberries.
Oh.
So if you do like white chocolate, that's a nice option. We also do a milk chocolate and peanut bark, but mostly dark chocolate.
Gail Ambrosius, our guest today, owner of Gail Ambrosius Chocolatier in Madison. Fortunately for me, fairly close to where I live.
Yes, you live in the neighborhood.
I live in the neighborhood. I can walk to the place in probably about 5 minutes or maybe a touch longer.
Depends on how hungry you are for chocolate.
Oh, well, and I have some great experiences with her chocolates and others as well. And I'd love to hear from you. What about you? Do you enjoy chocolate? Are you a purist? Give us a story that you have relating to chocolate at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. What's the right way to eat chocolate in order to get the most out of the experience?
Well, I like to slow it down.
Yeah.
You know, I like it to be very mindful because there is so much flavor in chocolate. And I know a lot of people are just eager to get to the chocolate. They pop the whole thing in their mouth and they get just as much enjoyment, I'm sure. But for me, I like to make it last. I like to savor it. So I take, you know, one small bite. Really kind of get the feeling of the chocolate, you know, how does it feel in my mouth, you know, what kind of flavors am I experiencing, and then just really savoring it. Let it melt on your tongue slowly, enjoy, and then take another little small bite and try to make that last as long as possible too.
and you make so many different types of little chocolates. I love them.
Yeah, we've got a lot of nice seasonal flavors right now. For Valentine's Day, we have passion fruit, which is a nice, very tart flavor. And that is actually made with milk chocolate. So the milk balances the tartness of the passion fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you know, I'm always thinking not only about flavor, but, you know, how is this going to balance each other? So that's a great one. I have a sour cherry with cherry puree, dried cherries. There are some boozy cherries in it from my next chocolate, which is Cherry Bounce. So it's like the traditional cherry cordial, but I pick cherries in the summer at Door County, and then I make Cherry Bounce. And then right after Christmas, we pit the cherries and then start making our Cherry Bounce truffles.
And you eat a few.
Oh, yeah. It's a fun process, Larry.
I love Cherry Bounce.
I do, too.
Nancy and De Pere, thank you for calling. Hi. Nancy, are you there? I don't know. Did I lose her? She's not hearing me or what? Nancy, are you there? Oh, we lost her. Apparently... you turned her into a chocolate lover.
Oh, that's great. I love to hear that.
Tell us your experiences in terms of experimenting with the different flavors. How do you, I mean, you've got some that are out there a bit.
Yeah, some are a little wacky sometimes. Well, I think what I like to do is just, you know, I travel a lot. I love to travel and I love to eat. So whenever I'm going out to eat, you know, I think about the flavor combinations that chefs use, and I'm always thinking, oh, well, that's an interesting pair. How would it taste with chocolate?
Sure.
You know, and sometimes I'll go back into the kitchen and experiment with that. Or if I have some new ingredient that becomes available to me, I might try to work it in. Seasonally, you know, I like to think of, you know, how the seasons change and what flavors I think about for the seasons. But really, it all starts with the chocolate. You know, I taste the chocolate just on its own, and I really think about what the chocolate's trying to tell me as far as what flavors it might like. And I'm very mindful with that chocolate on its own, and then I try to think about what would contrast with it or, you know, really complement it.
We have Nancy's back, so let's get Nancy on from DePere. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry.
Hi, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I am one of those rare people that you couldn't believe existed, but I don't particularly like chocolate.
Oh, no.
And being from the Green Bay area, I had never heard of Gail or her wonderful chocolates until Senator Tammy Baldwin stayed with me overnight, and sent me a thank you gift that was a box of four truffles. And those changed my life. I have a whole new attitude about chocolate. They were delicious. So good, I didn't even share them with my husband.
Good for you, Nancy. Thank you.
So
you made a believer out of me.
Oh, that's great.
Thanks, Nancy. That's a great story. Appreciate it. Well, you probably have done that for others as well.
I think I have. It's so nice to hear, though. I just love it.
Janet in Sauk City, it's your turn. Hi, Janet.
Hi. First of all, I have to say I'm not particularly fond of dark chocolate. I am a milk chocolate lover. But my story about chocolate, my memory of chocolate is when I was growing up, one of my favorite desserts in the world was my mother made homemade chocolate cake, and then she'd make a homemade hot fudge topping, and that's what we put on it as opposed to frosting, and it melted into the cake, and it was, to this day, it just makes me hungry. It was the best thing growing up that she made, and she was a fabulous cook. Thank you.
Oh.
That sounds great. That's the way I top my cakes, too, by the way. I don't like the frosting. It's too sweet. But just that drizzle of chocolate glaze, perfect.
Oh, God, you're making me hungry. And you brought some chocolates, and we're going to have to try some of these chocolates as the program goes on. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. What's your favorite chocolate memory? I'd love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234. You're a big proponent of single source.
Yeah, that's what I specialize in.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing wrong with blended chocolates. They're very interesting, too. I guess for me, I just love to really taste, you know, what's grown in that region. You know, I grew up on a farm, so I really appreciate what the farmers do, all their hard work. So I kind of like to just, you know, go from one farm or one particular region or even a country and try to just showcase, you know, what they do in that area.
Well, you do it well, that's for sure. And we're going to be talking some more with our guest, Gail Ambrosius. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org, or you can post on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. And while you're there, like the page while you're there, and we will send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. We'll be back with Gail Ambrosius right after a look at the news. Please stay with us. There are few gifts more welcome than a lovely assortment of delicious and beautiful chocolates. And with Valentine's Day this week, there are going to be a lot of chocolates bought, offered, and eaten. I'm pretty sure of that. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're very happy to have Gail Ambrosius with us today. She will share her passion for chocolate with us and explain the process of making those amazing treats. She's just a wonderful chocolatier. And you may have a favorite type of chocolate. Maybe you've got an experience to share about chocolates. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And I have been lucky enough, Gail brought along some chocolates, and Judith and I have been sampling. And Judith said that salted caramel is amazing. Perfect balance of sweet and salty. And it's actually my favorite of all your chocolates. It's the one that I like the best.
So many people love that one. So many people.
So a little sea salt, isn't it?
Sea salt on the top. And I think that's why, you know, it is that great combination of sweet and salty, covered in chocolate, you know, homemade caramel. You can't go wrong.
So how do you get... Now, the other one I tried was the
cherry cordial.
The cherry cordial, which was wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'm always intrigued by how do you get this liquid inside this chocolate?
That's the tricky part. That's the tricky part. Well, you have to have a shell. We have, you know, chocolate molds, and that one was in a nice heart shape. So fill the mold with chocolate and then dump the chocolate out. So you do leave a thin shell on the outside, and then you put the cherry in, and then we have to put in a little fondant, which will break down in a week to more liquid, and that's how you get that liquidy center. And then once the fondant is on top of the cherry, you can put a back on it.
Okay.
Of chocolate. But over a week, that sugar will break down into this, you know, nice, drippy, oozy, beautiful syrup.
So you hold on to it. You don't sell
those, it. Those we have to cure for about a week in our chocolate cave.
Oh. Oh, well, here's Mary Ann from Kashina.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I just had to share my chocolate memories. My grandpa worked for 50 years in a chocolate factory.
Wow.
And in New Jersey, and he smelled like chocolate. So needless to say, as if you don't love your grandpa enough, he smelled like chocolate. Whenever we came, he would reach into his pocket, and he would take out his pocket knife, and he would wrap the chocolate in wax paper, and he'd unwrap it, and he'd... I was the only girl, so I always got an extra big chunk that he would break off. And it was just such an awesome experience. And then my grandma made to die for hot chocolate with that same cocoa, and it was just incredible. But it's just such a great memory of my grandpa, who unfortunately has been dead for many, many years, but it's just a memory I hold on to forever because he smelled like chocolate.
That's wonderful.
What a great story.
Wonderful.
Oh, I love it. Thank you, Marianne. And where was the chocolate? Oh, it was out east.
Yeah. It was called Hooten Chocolate Factory, and it was in Newark, New Jersey.
Hooten. I've heard of Hooten.
You have? Oh, my gosh. See, I never heard. I mean, yeah, and I don't think it's still there, but it was there for years.
I don't think
and
so.
Years and years. But, yeah.
That's fabulous.
Well, thanks very much, and happy Valentine's Day a little early.
Yeah,
Thank you. You too.
To you as well. Judith grew up in a Chicago neighborhood, and there was an M&M Mars factory in the neighborhood. So some days the whole neighborhood smelled like melted chocolate, and other days like French fries, which was the almonds being roasted.
Oh, funny.
Oh, and Hershey, Pennsylvania, is the other people say.
Yeah, it smells like chocolate in the air.
Yeah, it's just in the air all the time.
But right, we all go home smelling like chocolate.
Yeah, you must.
Know? And, you know, there are much worse things.
Oh, got that right.
Yeah.
Lily in Sockville, it's your turn. Hi, Lily.
Hi. I'm calling basically just to share my experience on chocolate. Growing up, everything. I'm not a purist. I like chocolate with everything, especially hazelnut chocolate. I would put it on bread, on pancakes, on bananas, anything and everything. I would put, you know, the hazelnut chocolate spread. Now, my question to Gail is, what is your least favorite combination of chocolate? Because I know I've seen quite a few, and personally, I don't really like the mixture of orange and chocolate, but I wanted to know what was your least favorite combination.
Oh, boy. I like all chocolate, so that would be really a tough one to say. Probably my least favorite is something that didn't turn out so well, which was basil and chocolate.
Oh!
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, that was interesting is a good word for it. But I think there's a mood for every chocolate. So I do like them all.
Yeah. Well,
true. I do love mint and chocolate and everything and chocolate. There's nothing I don't like except then orange and chocolate just, you know, doesn't hit the spot. I don't like it too much. But thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for calling. And Anne in Madison. Hi, thanks for calling.
Oh, yeah, thanks for taking my call. All this talk about chocolate is really making me feel good. And I love chocolate with hazelnut, too. I just love it. And growing up in our home, my mom used to bake torts with chocolate, and she would mix in hazelnut, and that was our favorite. Another favorite combination of mine is a chocolate with liqueurs. And I wonder if you have any, if you make some. It brings back memories from growing up in South America where they used to have a very common bonbons filled with liqueurs in them.
Yeah.
And yeah. Hard to find here. And
they are hard to find. I think, you know, it's difficult to keep the liqueur in the chocolate in that liquid state.
Yeah.
So the cherry cordials that we have right now, those would be very close to, you know, more of that liquidy that you're thinking of. Those are really good. But we also make a Cointreau, which has orange liqueur.
Mm-hmm.
So unlike the previous caller wouldn't like that, but they're very good. It's that orange chocolate combination.
And a cognac.
And we have the cognac. They're not liquid, but there is some in the chocolate. You know, you can taste a bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Chocolate and rum is good. Too.
Yes, it is.
All those. Thank you so much for the show. This is fun.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And you have a website. Do you have?
Yes, we have a website. It's www.gailambrosius.com.
And I think we've got it up on my Facebook page at the Larry Miller Show. So and people can actually, you deliver.
They can order online, right. We ship UPS within Madison. You know, if you'd like a delivery, we have a courier service as well. So, you know, and
know
if you order online, it'll get there the next day anyway, you know, if it's UPS.
It's quick.
And it's very quick.
This time of the year.
We're busy.
Busy.
That's right.
But it's not, things are going to get there fast enough. Even in the August, you're not going to probably have to worry about melting or anything.
Well, if it's over 73 degrees, chocolate will melt.
Okay.
You know, real chocolate, quality chocolate. There's nothing else added. So, you know, the temperature will make it melt. So shipping in the summer is always a challenge.
Okay.
So.
Carol in Oak Creek. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Yes, I ditto the last caller. It's a very happy program. I want to ask you, a few years ago, I got a cookie jar filled with miniature chocolate chip cookies, and they were the best. And I looked at the ingredients, and one of the chocolate ingredients was Belgium chocolate. I have not been able to find anything that was as good as they. Could you tell me something about the Belgium chocolate that made those cookies taste so good?
Well, the chocolate doesn't really come from Belgium per se. I mean, it's made in Belgium. It's manufactured there. And Belgian chocolate typically has a little sweeter flavor to it. Belgians tend to like a little more nut combinations. Usually it's a little sweeter, more nuts. But there's so many great chocolates out there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to have to get online and order some of yours, because, boy, you're really into it.
And you've been,
thank you.
Yeah, and you've been featured. You're on the Food Channel, if I'm not
I right. was on the Food Network in 2010.
Yeah.
Right. They named us the best box of chocolate in America.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's not bad. No, I'll take that. From Alton Brown, no less.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was great.
Yeah.
Great honor.
That was that's a real honor. Carol, again, thank you. Joe and Madison, turn to you next. Hi, Joe.
Good afternoon. A lot of the listeners seem to be saying that it makes you feel good. And I just want to thank Gail for the business model, I think, that she has. When you walk into the store, your employees and everyone in there just feels good. And I think that's the start of the chocolate experience for me. Oftentimes, you have samples out. And I know these truffles are not cheap, but I like that you are willing to share your product, and I just think it's a good feeling when I put $25 down on, candy.
Oh, Joe, thank
like
you so much.
Yeah, it's not just the chocolate, but, the employees really look like they're having fun, so.
Yeah.
We do have a good time. And I have to say, I have the best staff in the world. My front of the house staff is just outstanding, and it goes all the way back through the whole house. I think everybody, top notch, great staff.
Do you, are they all trained by you, or are they?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, because most people don't have chocolate making experience.
Yeah. You don't find that on resumes
very
often.
Not so much. Not so much. Willingness to learn and a good attitude is the best thing.
Ah, got it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, thanks,
Joe.
Thanks a lot for calling. And you can join in, too. The number 1-800-642-1234. Margie in Milwaukee. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. I have a chocolate confession to make, and then I have a question on how you can help me to keep my grandkids from doing the same thing. When I was little, my dad was a banker, and at Christmas time, he would get these incredibly big cans of chocolate from customers, and sometimes they would be 3 and 4 tiers high.
Oh, nice.
And I was always we always debated on which ones were what, and sometimes the lids would have pictures. And a cousin told me that you can tell by the swirls on the top what the what the filling is inside. So if you could give me a couple of clues like that. Picking at the bottom, like I used to.
That's the way I used to do it, too.
And I was the only one of 5 kids that could put it back, so you really didn't know I'd been in there.
Well, the swirls typically were kind of the key to what's inside.
Is that right?
In a lot of the older type chocolate styles, the big boxes like we're talking about that you used to get for Christmas, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, it was the swirl. That was the key. But, most of our chocolates, they're the same shape, definitely. Yeah. So if you put a different, we can't keep that many different swirls straight. So we put a topping on them.
Yeah.
So they're all topped with something, and we have a picture guide inside. So you can tell the topping is the key to what's inside.
And a paragraph or so descriptor,
right,
a description of each of them. I love this.
That menu, yeah.
Oh,
so many people say, it's on my refrigerator.
It really, really does make a big difference. And then, they're easily identified.
Yeah, yeah. And there's one in every box.
Yeah. So.
Good to know. Thank you.
All right.
You're
thanks,
welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. Nikki in Whitewater. Hi, thanks for calling.
Hi there. This is a perfectly timed program because I'm going to be in Madison tomorrow, and we were planning on stopping in to get chocolates for my husband's birthday, which is tomorrow.
Oh, great.
He loves Gail's chocolates, but he always will only eat one. If we get a box, he'll only eat one per day, and he says that he doesn't want to ruin the flavor of the last chocolate. And I was thinking about forcing him to eat more than one chocolate for his birthday. Is there a way to, like, cleanse your palate between chocolates?
Well, just, you know, water is fine, but not ice water, because the ice in the water will cool your mouth down too much, and then the next chocolate won't melt properly.
Okay.
Oh.
So that's true. So if you drink water in between, it should be, you know, at room temperature. Personally, I think wine would go great.
I was just about to say it.
Or a nice craft beer would even work very well.
Yeah. I'm for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. Well, it reminds me about pairings.
Uh-huh.
So, are there pairings with other foods or beverages that...
Oh, definitely, definitely. Recently, I've done several cheese and chocolate pairings with Sarah Hill of the Milk Marketing Board.
Oh, sure.
And that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun because, you know, you have these contrasts in flavor and you may have this nice chocolate that's a little on the sweeter side and you can pair kind of a strong cheese with it. And by doing so, that strong cheese is mellowed a little bit. So if somebody doesn't typically like a strong blue, for instance, that sweetness will kind of mellow that flavor out. And so many people will say, oh, my God, I never thought I'd like blue cheese, but this is fabulous together.
I love blue cheese.
Me
so
too.
What chocolate? Yeah. So what chocolate do you
The Lucille's vanilla in the box is really good with quite a few of the nice blue cheeses that we can get here.
But, well, I'm going to have to be picking up a whole box of Lucille's vanillas because I love blue cheese.
Yeah, so that's great.
All right. All right. There we go. Helen in Cottage Grove. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Yes. Hello. I'm so happy to hear this show. Thank you, Larry. And Gail, I'm happy for your location. We grew up and my children grew up near there. Our daughter came home from Honolulu last June to have her wedding in our backyard here, and she wanted something typically Wisconsin from our area. So we bought little boxes of your candy and chocolates and used them for favors, and everybody was happy, and we were too. Thank you. Thank you for all the work you do, and keep at it.
Oh, thank you, Helen. That's really nice to hear. I'm going to pass that on to my staff.
Yeah. So I hadn't thought about this. One of the last times I visited, somebody from your staff mentioned that, oh, yeah, we do for weddings.
Right, right. More and more, too. And it's really nice because, my primary staff person, Catherine, she's my wedding specialist. She does such a great job. And if you are, you know, an engaged couple and you're thinking about it, call in. She'll set up a tasting with you. So sit down with you, taste as many chocolates as you'd like, you know, discuss your options. You know, what is your budget? What's your idea for, you know, your wedding? And we can really work with every couple to, you know, get them just what they're looking for.
Wow,
it's really sweet.
That's wonderful. Dan in Stevens Point, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi there. Thank you for the show about my favorite topic in the world. And I've had Ambrosia's chocolate, and it's delicious. Thank you very much, Gail.
You're welcome.
Two quotes that I know that you'd be interested in. Maybe you've heard them before, but one is, I believe that chocolate is a force for good in the world. I like that quote.
I love it.
And the other one is, there's no greater sin then letting chocolate get so old you can no longer eat it.
No.
Yeah,
those are great.
She had that up on her door, and I think she was quite right about that. I myself have had a lot of experience with chocolate. When I was a very little child, somebody had given me an Indian head penny collection. And I loved chocolate so much that I went out and took those Indian head pennies and I used it to buy chocolate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which didn't go over well with my parents. But yeah, delicious stuff. Thank you very
That's
much.
Great.
Oh,
thank you.
Thanks, Dad. Great story. Oh, now he wishes, probably, he may wish he had those Indian head pennies back. Mary in Eau Claire, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Hello. In the 1930s, there was the Webster Chocolate Factory in Eau Claire on First Avenue. And until they changed from cane sugar to beet sugar, that company functioned. And when they changed the sugar, the company could no longer have candy that solidified and went out.
Oh,
and I
wow.
was heartbroken because they used to give free samples to kids.
So sugar, yeah, that's, I'm glad you mentioned sugars, Mary, because what kind of sugar typically do you
work? We use cane sugar.
You use cane sugar?
Yeah, we use cane sugar.
Well, tell you what, whatever sugar you use, it's pretty darn good sugar.
Thank you.
And pretty darn good chocolate, too. I'm looking, we've got Lucille's vanilla, we've got caramel sprinkled with gray salt, we've got raspberry, espresso, cognac, Contru. One I like a lot, cinnamon can.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Oh, that is, I like that one a lot. And then the curry, my wife, I think that might be her favorite, the sweet curry. Machu Picchu. And lemongrass and shiitake mushroom is another one of my another favorite.
Yeah, those are good.
And then there's some that are inspired by tea and all. And you are cranking them out right now.
Oh,
I bet.
Like crazy! Yeah, like crazy.
This has got to. Is this the biggest time of the year?
Christmas is the biggest, but Valentine's is the second busiest time.
Well, it's always a great pleasure, Gail. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
I love having you on, and I'm hoping we can do it again.
Sounds great. Thank you, Larry.
Gail Ambrosius of Gail Ambrosius Chocolates. Go to her website. What is it again? It's
GailAmbrosius.com.
GailAmbrosius.com, or you just go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I've got a link right there. Thank you very much for listening, and I hope you'll stay with us. We've got lots more in store here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.